The beauty and benefits of living for Jesus. You know, one of the most amazing things about God is that I find that He reveals and reveals and reveals through His Word and through so many different ways of how great He is, and more than that, how beneficial and generous He is. But it's amazing to me how I walk with the ordinary Christians and you know, just the ordinary person in Christian life, including me sometimes, and I forget what I signed up for, and I know that there's requirements and things that I'm supposed to follow, but I forget the benefits that God brings. And one of those greatest accesses to those benefits is prayer, but also just living the Christian life. And we get far more than we could imagine, right? And I think the deeper I go with God, the longer I walk with God, you know, I find out He's a lot nicer than I thought He was. And He keeps getting nicer and nicer every year. Even though I might not be feeling so great, you know, some years or sickness or things happen, I just get a continual flow of not only the righteousness of God, but the loveliness of God, the benefits of God. Thing is, one of the reasons why we don't know more about God is we don't read the Bible enough. What I mean by that is not as a textbook, not as a disciplinary place or whatever, just it's certainly a warning place, but what I like the best about the Bible, it shows me all the ways I can get benefit, all the ways I can get blessed. It gives us all these examples from scriptures and things and stories just to let us know that living for God works. Yeah, pays off. Pays off every which way you could imagine. And I thank you for helping with that. That's right. Pays off is the perfect exact word, isn't it? So hopefully everybody has an outline. It should say the beauty and benefits of living for Jesus. If you don't have an outline, you might want to wave your hand. Maybe ushers, if you could be sensitive. I think everybody pretty much has one, looks like. And so the outline helps you to follow and helps you kind of get the gist of where I'm going just as you read and kind of follow. So I found it's kind of helpful. Also helpful to help me to keep on track. So here's one of the most wonderful psalms in the whole Bible. And I want you to read this from like an entrepreneur. I want you to read it like an entrepreneur. What is it about God that's going to bless me? What is it about God that will benefit me? Why is it worth following the Lord, right? Certainly there's a cost to following the Lord, but oh, the benefits are so much greater. That's the hidden secret. I came that they might have life and have it what? Abundantly. Is that sort of like a monk life where I'm cloistered and something? And that's okay if you do that, you know. That's some of those joyful people I know pray 12 hours and, you know, in a monastery. But for the most of us, living our daily life can be a challenge, but there's a certain joy that runs through it all. That's why I call the beauty of it. Not only that we get stuff, but also it's a beautiful thing, how God provides. Maybe the most beautiful thing is sending His own Son, Lord, in the likeness of sinful flesh, right, just as a man, in order that we could be reconciled, in order that we could be fellowshipping with Him and have this beautiful life. And the life just extends. It not only lasts here, but it goes for eternity. It's amazing. It gets better and better, right? So let's read from Psalm 103. And I want you to listen carefully today for all the benefits. And maybe as we listen to the benefits of walking with Christ, we also get a sense of the beauty. And all these are things. These things are accessible simply by walking with God, but they're accessible also by simply calling out to God in the name of Jesus, which is one of the most amazing things of all. It's amazing. One of the greatest secrets that is hidden from many believers is they just don't know how much power is in prayer, how much it really works. And so I want to read these verses a little bit. Praise the Lord, my soul, all my inmost being, praise His holy name. Now this is David writing, King David. And King David was quite a character, wasn't he? You know, ended up being the richest man on the earth, most powerful man on the earth, but he went through a few valleys, didn't he? Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. So he knew what it was to suffer. He knew what it was to be blessed by the Lord. But he's the one that wrote this. Praise the Lord, my soul. All my inmost being, praise His holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all His benefits. So when you read the Word and you understand it properly, you don't forget. You remember His benefits. And you can pray down any one of these in your life, agree with it, cooperate with it, whatever. But as we walk according to the word of God, it's supposed to be of benefit to us, joy to us. We're supposed to see something beautiful, not arduous, not tough. You don't have to go to church. You get to go to church. You don't have to follow Jesus. You get to follow Jesus, right? So here's some of the benefits. Who forgives all your sins? Aren't you glad all of them are forgiven? Heals all your diseases. I really like that. It's pretty clear, isn't it? Who redeems your life from the pit? I don't know how many are in the pits today. Crowns you with love and compassion. Who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. I don't know how many people out there, a few gray hairs out there that need their youth renewed like the eagles. Well, that's for you, right? The word works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious. That's who Jesus is. That's who God is. Compassionate and gracious. Slow to anger. He doesn't get mad fast. Abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. Wow. That's a lot. If you just stop and meditate on some of these passages, his love is that great for me? Wow. I need to get on the board with this. This is pretty good, right? As far as the east is from the west, so far he's removed our transgressions from us. We just have this simple thing. Jesus taught us that we confess our sins. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. And cleanse us from how much unrighteousness? All of it. He's removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, I really like this revelation. So the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. So we just see this incredible picture. If that's all you knew about God, you think, well, that's a pretty good deal. Right? The enemy of the world distorts it so greatly, but this is really the basis, it's the foundation of our walk with God. When Jesus came, God made these benefits possible for the whole world in a way that never was before, even for Israel. There is no condemnation for Christians. We receive overwhelming blessings in this life and in the life to come. I want to read from Romans chapter 8. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do, even if you obeyed it perfectly, even if you like got 99% on your report card for following the rules of the law, but still it wouldn't be enough to get what you need, right? For what the law was powerless to do because it was weakened by the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh to be a sin offering. So he took care of all those weak spots, all those broken spots, all those places where we weren't perfect. He covered it with the blood of his Son because he came in the flesh. He had to come in the flesh in order that the righteous requirement of the law. See, God has righteous requirements for his creation. If you notice, everything in the world functions according to the laws. Law, we call them the laws of nature, right? But there's this supernatural law and wisdom of God that permeates everything. The wisdom of God created the earth. The wisdom of God shows us how you were made, how you prosper, how you're healthy. He knows the keys to all of these things. The world masquerades and thinks it knows the key to this, the key to that, but it doesn't know much. God knows everything about you. He knows to prosper you. He knows how to heal you. He knows how to deliver you from evil. In order that the righteous requirement of the law might be met in us, who do not live according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So Jesus had to come in that area where we were short, in that way we were not able to measure up. The sin that so easily besets us, the Lord gave Jesus so we could confess our sins on the basis of what he did for us on the cross and be completely clean, but also free. Free to obey his ways, follow his ways. And in that obedience of following his ways, there's incredible beauty and benefit in the whole process. We cannot make ourselves acceptable to God on our own strength. So God sent Jesus to cover our sins by becoming the perfect offering once and for all for our mistakes, for our sins, right? There's no condemnation for those who are Christ Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. That was what was released because of the cross. That's in the resurrection when we die, but it's also in our life every day, this amazing Spirit who gives life. The law was powerless to do all that it needed to do. It's good warnings and things, but God needed to do something different so that this righteous requirement of God to come in fellowship and perfect fellowship would be fulfilled, that we could walk with absolute confidence without the weight of even the slightest guilt that we're guilty and we're condemned. If we're guilty, we just say, God, I did it. And we just thank you for your sacrifice on the cross, and it's done. This honesty of heart, this way of walking, there's nothing like it. And he doesn't forgive us begrudgingly, but totally. Right? So we can't make ourselves acceptable to God in our own strength. We become clean by faith. This is B on your outline there. Simply believing and trusting in the sacrifice of Jesus for our sins. When we put our faith in Jesus, two things happen. The first is that our sins and failures are covered by Jesus' sacrifice. I already mentioned that. But the second is this. We begin to live by the revelation, power, and love of the Holy Spirit living inside of us. I want to say that again. The revelation, power, and love. We have the Holy Spirit living on the inside of us, and so we begin to live a supernatural lifestyle. We're carrying the presence of God. As redeemed believers, we're not only got our bus ticket punched for heaven, but we live according to the things of the Spirit. We have a spiritual life on the inside that's talking to us. I don't think that we emphasize that enough in churches as a whole. I know we certainly do all the time. But it's just amazing, this life that God has for us. So we begin, if you look at B2 there, we begin to live by revelation, power, and the love of the Holy Spirit living inside of us. Because before Jesus died and ascended to heaven, he was very clear on how important receiving the Holy Spirit would be. And that's the amazing thing about it. We actually receive God. He left so we could receive the very literal presence of God. And the Spirit on the inside of us instructs us, warns us, heals us, delivers us, gives us supernatural revelation, supernatural power to pray for people. Supernatural power to be like little Jesus's. We'll never measure up to the purity and holiness of Jesus, but that's why we got Jesus in our name. Christians, right? We're Christians. We're Jesus people. Acts 1:4, on one occasion while he was eating with them, he gave this command, do not eat, leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And that word, of course, baptized means immersed. You're about to get immersed with the Holy Spirit. Then they gathered around him and asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, it's not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. So, the unfortunate thing in living in a culture like ours, and we have many fortunate things for living in a culture like ours, but one of the most unfortunate things is that we've developed a secular worldview. So the way we look at the world as ordinary cultural beings in the United States of America and the Western world is we look at it through a secular lens. That's one of the reasons why we're having such a clash right now politically, because there's a spiritual lens, God's spiritual lens to look through. People are looking through all kinds of lenses. Some of them are the old secular lens of evaluating things, right? And then there's also a supernatural lens through cults and various false religions that are being offered up, and they're living through that lens. But the Holy Spirit comes, and he fills you, and he helps you look at life through the lens of Jesus and receive life at the same time, to know that you have life and you can give it away, real life. And that busts out sometimes in terms of healing, physical healing, miracles, all kinds of signs and wonders. We were made to be a miracle people. How could we miss that? The Holy Spirit's not just inside of us to console us or to say nice things to us. Holy Spirit's inside of us, as we see from this very beginning of Acts. That's why it's called Acts. Acts of the Apostles. So we're supposed to do what Jesus does. And so you have to sort of fight for that one a little bit in a secular environment that teaches you from a young age to evaluate everything from a sort of scientific worldview, which is fine. It's gotten us a long way with regard to inventions and those things that are glorious. But I'm not sure how far we've gotten on the inside. It's very rare that I meet a real person of peace, even with believers sometimes. Yeah, this is something that God offers us. And it's not just natural. It's not just because things are going well or this is calmed down. You can be peaceful because God's in you, because you can feel Him talking to you. If there's one thing that I think that many Christians struggle with is, well, did I hear the voice of God or not? It shouldn't be like that. We should know when we hear the voice of God. And it's as simpler than we think, but just understanding that we have the Spirit inside of us, and that Spirit should be talking, right? Should be leading, should be guiding. And that's part of the great joy of life, the part of the beauty and benefit of living for Jesus, that we're not just living according to some philosophical pattern, right, that's out there. You should be doing this and you should do that, full of this and that. You know, that's what religion always is about, this and that, right? Don't eat that, do this, you know, fast this amount of time. All over the world, there's all this religion, can show up for this appointment at this particular time for this particular meeting, whatever it is. But the Spirit's different. He's inside, bubbling up, revealing all kinds of things, and most importantly, revealing God. And that's why we emphasize this. He told His disciples, you know, He explained that there was something coming that they still didn't have. They had certainly this knowledge of God. They certainly, by the time we come to Acts 2, believed in God, right? But something else was missing. This is why I have my Life in the Spirit class all the time, because that thing that's missing is still amazing. And because of our culture and the way it is, and if it's not false religion, then it's a secularism that's over it. We don't understand that we're actually spiritual beings, and we don't even understand sometimes because of the way we're educated in the culture of what it means to be a supernatural person, right? Because these cults come in and they distort that part. They're spiritual, right, with demonic power and everything. But we want the real thing, right? The real power, the one that conquers that demonic power that now increasingly we're having to deal with. You know, I tell you, when we get people now off the streets and get them walking with God, one of the main things we have to do anymore is cast demons out of them, because our culture has become so demonized. And yes, there are real demons. For some of you that are sitting, really? Yeah. Well, just go cast one out a little bit and you'll find out there's real demons, right? They hide. They always are in the darkness. They're always making you think like something else. They're always totally lying to you. It almost seems unfair, right? There's so much lying going on in the spirit, you know, in the spiritual world. And people believe it hook, line, and sinker unless they have the truth on the inside of them. And also, they need to have some ability in walking with Spirit and living in Spirit. The whole rest of the world lives in Spirit, but they just live in the demonic spirit, right? Many, many countries, if you travel to them, you know, especially Africa, Asia, Latin America, the dominant worldview is a supernatural worldview, but they spend most of their time running from the devil and trying to placate the curses on their life. What a wonderful thing to know that Jesus overcomes curses. He knew that in this spiritual world, His own disciples that He had needed something more. He had been a great example. He had told them the teaching, but there was something more. They needed to be equipped with what He is equipped with. Remember in the waters, the Spirit descended on Him, right? And of course, how that works with the Son of God's, I don't know exactly. All I know is He was supernatural, right? And walked in, but He modeled a lot of things for us, right? And one of them is this filled with the Holy Spirit, this filling of the Holy Spirit. So that's why I have my class that I do every Wednesday, Life in the Spirit. Come. You know, I do it for 11 weeks, three times a year. We're in the fall, then we'll do it in the winter, then we'll do it in the spring, day in and day out. Why? Because to know the beauty and benefits of loving Jesus, you have to have something supernatural living inside of you that God offered. And be acquainted with it, Him, and walk with Him. He's the Holy Spirit who does nothing except what the Father bids, except what the Son says, right? So these disciples were in pretty good shape. They certainly knew a lot about God, but they needed something else. So He says, you know, I want you to get to know that there's something bigger coming, something more powerful than you've experienced. And so when this day came, which we call the day of Pentecost, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated, that came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. So if you come to my Life in the Spirit class, which is here on Wednesdays, worship at 6 and class starts at 6:30, and you're newer to these things, just come and we'll explain it to you. And we do lab and we do teaching. So lab means you could get filled with the Holy Spirit, right? And speak in tongues. Well, I'm just so grateful that I actually was raised the way I was. I was raised in a very traditional Orthodox Presbyterian church, which really didn't know much about any of this. And so I was growing up, and the most inspiration the church ever gave me was a headache. Man, I just didn't, I mean, I just, growing up, I said the most boring thing I ever did in my life, you know. And I'm getting older now, and it's getting worse and worse, you know, just dreading going, you know. And then I got ambushed. They made a mistake. They sent a bunch of us young people, not a bunch of us young people, mostly older people, but a few young people, to this conference, right? And it was a Presbyterian conference. And at this Presbyterian conference, as many of you heard me talk about, this guy shows up, and he's teaching this little seminar off to the side. There's like 13, 15 seminars all about Vietnam and this and that and social justice and things. They had this one little thing. I was bored to death with all of them. And if it wasn't for where I was at, I don't want to disparage any city here, but it was a dangerous place. So I'd have been roaming around on the streets during that time, you know, all during the conference time, because I was bored to tears and I didn't know what I was going to do. So I go to this class, and he starts about like talking about speaking in tongues and spiritual life, being filled with the Holy Spirit. And you've heard my story many times, but it revolutionized my life because I ended up being a tongue talker. I ended up talking, you know, speaking in these tongues, which shocked everybody. And when I went home, I infected a whole bunch of kids with it. And before you know it, all of our youth group, everybody's like infected with this speaking tongues. We're roaming around all over the place trying to find any Pentecostal church, any place that even believes anything like this, which is actually at that time was hard to find. But we found a place. So we go there on like Wednesday nights, you know, and hang out there. And then we go back to our regular church during the on Sunday, but and on youth group time and all that. And this youth group got more and more bizarre because the Spirit, we didn't know what to do. We didn't have much of a leader. Like I just been filled with the Holy Spirit, and I was sort of the youth leader part of it, but I just didn't know quite how to handle this. And I remember some deliverance that we tried, you know, on our own. It was crazy, man. And I won't even tell you what happened there, but that was like, I tell my class sometimes, it was crazy. So we're walking in this new world of the Spirit who actually, and here's the great thing, just reveals the beauty and power and love and benefit of following Jesus. Why did Jesus have the Spirit descend on him? He's God. It was modeling. He's in the waters baptized and the Spirit came down on him. Spirit needs to come on us in the same way. Jesus didn't need to be saved. You may not need to be saved, but you do need this. What the disciples had, you need to be baptized with the Holy Spirit, right? And so they get filled with the Holy Spirit. So it looks a little weird. And oh, churches, they are so prim and proper. God forbid if anything looks weird in the church. They just can't handle it. A little bit of weirdness freaks them out. So everybody's so busy trying to stay within these lines and follow the rules. And the pastors want everybody to be at peace. Don't want any kind of controversial thing going on because people might leave. Nah, man, everything, keep the peace, you know. And I think the church actually, as we see it in the New Testament, is a little bit wilder than that. So all these guys start speaking in tongues, right? And they're all hearing them speak in their own tongues because actually there's a whole bunch of guests there because the Jews had gathered for a feast and they were coming from all over the world and their first tongues were actually these other languages and Hebrew second, and they're listening to them speak in their own languages and they're freaking out. So the only conclusion they could come up with is verse 13. Some, however, made fun of them and said, they've had too much wine. So this wasn't exactly a calm event. They had too much wine, right? Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit. And I guess if that was the last days, we must be in the last of the last days. I don't know. It's 20 centuries, I guess. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. So now what they only knew from prophets, now everybody's going to be doing. And of course, they held in high regard the prophets. They were scripture writers. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. In other words, you're going to start hearing from God. And there's the language of the Spirit. Part of the language of the Spirit, by the way, is dreams and visions. That's why we talk about them. That's why we have a prophetic class. We talk about these. If that's part of the language of God, how he talks, and you have never had a vision or a dream, you're missing something. Because he's talking, he just doesn't talk all the way you want him to. He doesn't come and say, excuse me, Mike, I'd like to speak to you for a moment. If you'll refer to the outline I'm about to give you, here you go. Please, today, would you do this, this, and this? Thank you very much. Goodbye. Right? It turns out your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions, your old men will dream dreams, and the people around them are thinking, they're drunk. No. How the ways of God are. How would you start your church with everybody thinking of them as drunk? Who would do that as a church? Churches are supposed to be prim and proper. I don't want people to get a bad impression. I gotta fill those seats with buns, you know. And they're prophesying visions and dreams. Oh my God. This is the early church. And I think they didn't know what to think of it either. Even on my servants, both men and women, I'll pour out my spirit in those days, and they're going to prophesy. Prophesy, prophesy. You mean ordinary me? Yes, prophesy. You mean like that's all they knew? Think about a Jewish ear. Prophesy. That's prophet. That's Jeremiah, Isaiah. What do you mean we're going to prophesy? Those guys are gone even. We don't have many prophets anymore. John the Baptist out there, but he's crazy as a loon. I don't even know about to think about him. I will show wonders in the heavens above, and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. Whoa. The sun will be darkened to dark, the sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. So he's talking about a little bit in the future that will be happened. But the key issues there are, I will pour out my spirit in those days and they will prophesy. In other words, they will be aware. So when you talked about prophets in the Old Testament or prophecy, prophets brought the whole package. They not only prophesied, foretold events, but they were all doing all kinds of miracles. It's signifying a spirit-filled person full of God, right, in the world. So Romans 8 helps us to understand the benefits of living without condemnation and the love and power of this Holy Spirit that's been given. And so I'm just going to be starting really in earnest about the beauty and benefits of living for Jesus, because this thing, as we live for Jesus, this whole thing, the most beautiful thing, is we become filled with God and walk with God, and it's always accessible. Like when we worship up here, I get refilled all the time. I surf God. I put my sail up, and I get filled up all over again. I do whatever I can and however I can, reading the Bible, praying, whatever I can do to make sure that I am touching, being filled, touched with God. Therefore, now, according to Romans chapter 8, actually, I want to start with Romans 8, 14 to 16. Get down there. Listen to this. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you receive does not make you slaves. That's important. Slaves. Slaves to this life, slaves to the opinions of others, slaves to our culture. That's why, so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received about you received brought about your adoption to sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. And there's just all kinds of things there. We don't live in fear anymore. That's why when the COVID thing happened, that's why it was so hard for the world to figure out what in the heck the Christians were doing, because we just aren't afraid the same way you are. I'm sorry, world, but we're not afraid. I mean, I was afraid a little bit, but I mean, man, I don't like the feeling of this. This stinks. I cannot let our church and I can't let myself be dominated with fear. If I'm dominated by fear, I can't hear God's voice anymore, right? For the Father loves the Son, Jesus said, and shows him what he's doing. So I need love. I need to be with God. So this fear thing makes me a slave. And that's exactly what happened in the COVID thing. They started to make us slaves. Do this, do that. Shut this down. Shut that out. Open this, open that. Oh, the world loves to govern, especially with the spirit of fear. That's how they do it, right? Just make you afraid enough and everybody will follow and do stupid things, right? Same exact thing with sheep. Like if a sheep starts stampeding, you know that? It's amazing. I've heard this and I've read about it. Everybody else will stampede wherever that sheep's going. He'd go off the cliff. Everybody's going to go off with him. That's why you have to have a shepherd, because they get afraid so easily and they start stampeding. They'll go off and just fall. Ah! And there was a little bit of stampeding even the body of Christ during the COVID crisis. And we can't go there anymore. Doesn't make any sense. People are going off cliffs, doing all kinds of crazy stuff. Moving here, moving there, doing this. And I could feel the fear. Couldn't you feel the fear? I mean, I hope you did. It sucketh. I was going to say the other word, but it's, you know, this church. For those who are, sorry, Janice. She's crossing her eyes at me there on the front row. It's my wife. For those who are led by the Spirit of God or the children of God, the Spirit you receive does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Fear comes in so many different ways. So many different ways. You get a sickness. Someone says something, you know. You're watching anxiously the prices of homes, whether they're going up or down. If there's anything rife in our atmosphere right now, it's the spirit of fear. Don't do it. Actually, you know what the thing is? And I know this is what I'm a little bit proud of, is I don't think that the world understands us because we're not walking to the same drummer. We're not afraid. We're not afraid. Anybody that is afraid, you know, we're just not walking there. We can do a little bit, but we just don't stampede like the rest of them, right? Because we don't want to be slaves again. Because we have something else. Rather, the Spirit brought instead your adoption to sonship. By Him we cry, Abba, Father, your Spirit, sonship, that's important. Not only do you get to speak in tongues and heal the sick, but the most important thing about being filled with the Spirit is awareness of your own daughtership, so to speak, relationship, sonship to God. I'm just not anybody. I'm His son. I'm His daughter. And this word Abba is like daddy. I don't just call Him Father. He's my daddy. Daddy, because the Spirit's helping me see that. There's a revelation that needs to come and is available for all of us. And sometimes we get outside that revelation and we need to be touched by the Spirit again. Come back and worship a little bit. Feel His love. Feel His joy. Learning to, your whole journey of life is really learning to speak or receive the Spirit of the Holy One, God, and God the Father, right? Abba. Boy, so we now when we pray, we cry, we scream. Actually, that word cry is a violent word. We yell, like kind of like a kid in the grocery store that loses his mom. Starts whimpering a little bit, and then he knows mom's not around. And you hear that scream in the grocery store, and mom's searching around trying to find Junior, right? We cry, Daddy, Father. The Spirit Himself testifies. That's a strong word. It's like the word for martyr. Strong testimony with our spirit that we are God's children. We are God's children. Oh, how powerful Abba is. This revelation transcends everything and is sorely needed for all believers in today's world, because inside that understanding, you begin to experience the beauty and benefits of living for Jesus. From that understanding. A lot of people don't receive the beauty and benefits of knowing Jesus because they lost sight of Him. They quit believing. And that's something that's required. But the faith has more than just faith in it. It has love in it. It has dad in it. Why would God not heal me? Why would God not do this? And I know sometimes we're on a little long timeline. Maybe it's been a long time. But you can't, over your problems, ever lose the fact that Jesus died for you on the cross, but also He reconciled you to Daddy. He did it out of love, and the Father sent Him out of love, and the Spirit comes with love. That's why they had to be filled with the Holy Spirit. He said, wait, you got to have this equipping. You got to be filled with the Holy Spirit. That's why I have my class. Come to my class, Life in the Spirit, right here on the front row Wednesday night. I do that 3 semesters out of the year because I have a goal. I want you to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I want you also to meet Daddy. So in our class, we talk about that, and we release the Father's love. There's an impartation that can be given for those that have experienced this. We learned that not only can we experience it ourselves, I can give that away, that you feel intimate with the Lord. And that God will do that. That's part of the equipment, right? And this revelation transcends everything and is sorely needed for all believers in today's world. The beauty and benefits of living for Jesus, the very Spirit of God living in you and letting you know that God's not just some cosmic force, but He is your dad. One problem, some of us, is we get distorted with that because we didn't have such a great dad. Or a great mom, maybe even. Don't matter. Especially you that are in that place. You need God's love. You need to know what it is to have a real dad. A dad that loves you and has compassion on you supernaturally. You need it more than anything. And yet that might distort you a little bit, thinking of that. But you know what? Let just overcome that, because your dad's a good dad. Your dad's so good that He sent His own son to shed blood for you so that you could have relationship and have these beautiful things, these benefits that come with walking with Jesus. The Spirit helps us in our weaknesses to see and pray according to the will of God. And God hears our prayers. The same way the Spirit helps us in our weakness, we don't know how to pray. The Spirit Himself intercedes for us through words and groans, wordless groans. And He who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. So this is all part and parcel with our prayer life, right? It has to do with our being able to cry out to God in a way that might not have English words or even expression, but God knows. And sometimes there are those sort of groans, but he's really referring to, I think, is speaking in the spirit, talking in language of the Lord. Even the pain, you know, sometimes there's no words to give to your pain, you know, but God hears every groan, everything. And then we speak in tongues when we don't even know how to pray. He hears all that too, and he's interpreting the whole thing and knows about it. That's one thing I love about tongues so much. I don't know about you, but sometimes I just run out of things to say. I don't know what to say about it. Sometimes I'll have to pray for a long time in the Spirit because I just don't know how to pray for stuff. That's why we teach you about speaking in tongues. I use it as my prayer language. I use it to intercede, and I can feel the Lord hearing me. And sometimes I even know what I'm praying. Sometimes I can interpret it. But usually I just know that it's being covered. I don't know what to say. Matter of fact, sometimes if things are so convoluted, I'm not sure exactly what to pray. So I don't know what people do without praying in tongues. I don't know what you do. I don't know how you have a lifeline. I do it so much because I'm not the smartest person in the world, I guess. I just people come in there and I'm going to give them a counseling thing, and and I'm supposed to know all this stuff about them, Sometimes I'm sitting there going, that's about the worst thing I ever heard in my life. Well, I can't let them know that, and I just smile, Tell me more. And thinking on this side, please don't tell me much more. This is terrible. I'm so sorry. I feel so sorry for you, right? So, you can be on the outside that, but then I'll go, wait a minute, And then I'm going to lift them with that other ear. God, what are you doing here, right? And I'll start to pray in tongues under my breath or just listening to God. And the Lord just begins to talk to me, tells me what to say. I become soft in my heart. I become soft. I soften. The Spirit of God's soft. Did you know that? He really is soft. And that's one of the greatest revelations I've had, and I'm going to get to that in a minute, but it's one of the greatest revelations in my Bible that I've ever figured out and come to understand and then experience, is that God's tender of heart. That's why sometimes people, again, even with regard to tongue-talking people or people that, live on that side, sometimes they get harsh. And I always worry about them if they get harsh, because the Spirit's always taken me to a tender place. And it makes sense, God's love. So if I'm interfacing with God and I'm praying like that, I should also be aware of the love of God and the compassion of God. Maybe I should first be aware of that, right? For if I pray in a tongue, he says, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. What shall I do? I'll pray with my spirit, but I'll also pray with my understanding. I will sing with my spirit. Interesting. This is 1 Corinthians 14:14-15. I'm on C here. What shall I do? I will pray with my spirit, but I also pray with my understanding. So I will sing with my spirit, but I also sing with my understanding. Otherwise, when you are praising God in the spirit, how can someone else who is now put in the position of inquiry say amen to your thanksgiving, since they do not know what you're saying? Right? So he's saying if you do that publicly, you need to interpret it. In other words, if you're speaking so that it's hard to believe, but in the early church, these guys were getting a hold of this whole speaking tongue so much that they were kind of proud of it. So they go to the meeting, and this one would speak out like that, just to prove he had his spiritual badge on. What you guys are doing, all this proud stuff, but nobody knows what in the heck you're doing. Somebody needs to interpret if you're going to do that, and probably just need to do a couple of it, because you guys are going way overboard here, right? Especially in the meeting. You let that proud thing come in there, right? So I suppose you can make proud and arrogant out of anything, right? But the gentle beauty and benefit of living for Jesus, if the Spirit brings anything, any consolation, anything, it's love and compassion. It's the best value. It's the greatest thing about God. It's the most wonderful thing that I can live with the love of God in my heart. Talk about beauty and benefits of living for Jesus. And this love is supernatural. It helps me love the unlovely. It helps me love the ordinary. It helps me love my family members. I need that. Dads, you need that. Moms, you need that. You need help. You need help. Living for Jesus truly follows this pathway. And then, of course, there's so many other benefits as we walk with God. One of them is simply this. If you know Jesus Christ, look what it says. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him. So once you sign up, once you're in, God's working for your good. Every circumstance has meaning. What a sad thing for people not to believe that. I think it's really sad if you don't believe that God's working for your good, because you're not following him. You're not walking with him. Hey, this has happened, but let me tell you why. Listen, you'll see it later. But believe, look, nothing can happen to me that isn't working out for my good. What a promise. Wow, do we live like that? That's part of the beauty and benefit of living for Jesus. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. Wow. I'm going to say it again. And we know that how many things would this be? All. Right? God works. Think of your worst thing. God's working it for the good, for your good. Who have been called according to His purpose. Sometimes that's hard to believe. Ah, but I'll tell you what, if we get a hold of that scripture, it's life-giving. Nothing can overcome you. And I don't understand time and space, and it may be years, it may be months, I don't know how long, but what choice do you have? Believing that the devil's gotten so strong that he's tormenting you, or that God's so weak he doesn't care? None of those are tenable. I mean, is that really a way to walk with God? How's that going to work for you? Better to be filled with the love of God all the time. Better let Him come in. Believe on promise and faith. But there's more I want to say about that. So maybe you believe with all your heart that God works together for good, but kind of a consolation prize because it's been a long time. But don't miss the scenario. Don't miss the beauty of this whole thing, because it's not just the benefit of loving Jesus, but it's the beauty. And there's love from the Spirit that you can experience, love from God, and it goes beyond anything you could ask or feel. I'm just telling you, there's love in God. Experiential, powerful, beautiful love. Some people live out of duty. They don't even know that there's an impartation of such a thing. And that's what I'm going to get to in just a minute. But if God is for us, who could be against us? God graciously gives all things. If God's for you, who could be against you? Who will bring a charge against those whom God has chosen? You know, you can think of all these enemies, right? But do they really have any teeth in them? Do they really have any ability compared to what God's done? Who shall bring any charges against those whom God has chosen? So much guilt, so much accusation. Boy, when I hear that yak, yak, yak accuser, I say, look, I screwed up, but stop yelling at me. In the name of Jesus, I'm forgiven. Amen. I tell you, if you can get short, quickly to that place without going through all the, you know, trying to say how sorry you are in so many different ways, and like, it just doesn't lead to, if it led to like truth and righteousness, that would be great. But usually if you do enough of that, it doesn't lead anywhere, right? So I want charge. I just love this. Who will bring a charge against those who God has chosen? I just receive you, Lord. Sorry I did that. But Lord, I thank you for your love. Thank you, Lord, for reconciling me back. Lord. Jesus is the right hand of God interceding for you. Is that crazy or what? So not only has all this has happened, but this Jesus, who is then who condemns? No one. Jesus Christ, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God, and He's praying for you. Wow. What a deal. God's praying for you. If you know Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, Jesus is praying for you to do well. He's not praying for you to be religious. He's not praying for you to just, you know, line up or salute. He's praying for you to do well. Jesus Christ is praying for you. And if it hasn't come yet, I don't know how to figure that out. I just know I got to trust God. And when I lose sight of God, and if I lose the love of God, if it's not a commodity in my heart, these things will drive me crazy. But when God's assuring me and filling me, you know, I know Him now. Okay, so there's things that, man, trouble, hardship, persecution, they come. But who shall separate us from the love of Christ is the issue. It's an experiential issue. It's not a poem. It's reality. It's divine reality. Oh my goodness, I love these verses. And all the while, Jesus is praying for us. According to Hebrews 4:14-16, we can approach God's throne of grace with confidence so we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. That's the solution. So what if I've gone 55 times? Go 56. But don't go through manipulation. Just keep doing it because, you know, God loves you. And there's something there for you. And leave it with Him. But at the same time, don't let Him go. Keep reminding Him. Keep reminding Him. He likes the whole thing. I don't know why He likes the whole thing. I think because He calls it faith. I think that's why He likes the whole thing. As it is written, for your sake, this is Romans 8:36. For your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. Right? So that was the early apostles' experience. They certainly didn't have a lack of suffering, but he's writing all these words instead. I mean, their friends are getting killed, hunted down, hated, living in poverty sometimes. This is their environment. Anything we could think of, like our environment right here in the United States, man, you can't equal that. They became the scum of the earth. Yet these are the verses that are written through the pen of Paul, right? The great prisoner of God. For your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. But no. I know all that's true, but listen to this before you go down the tube with me and feel sorry for me. No, listen to this. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Ah, that's the key word. Through him who loved us. Yes, I know Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me. No, I'm talking about him who loved us. This is part of the equation. This is part of what you get walking with God. Have you felt it? Have you felt his love and compassion? If you haven't for a while, he wants you to. This is the early church experience. For I, he says, am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither present nor the future, nor any powers, neither the Democrats or the Republicans, nor the Iranians, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So what I want you to believe, and I'm just encouraging you to believe, is not only that you believe it in your brain. You might even memorize that scripture. Somebody maybe told you to memorize that scripture so you kind of make you feel bad. But I just got to understand, it's not just a promise in the text. It's part of this experience of receiving compassion from God. God releases the love of the Father to us. It's part of our thing. We just have to remind ourselves where in the scriptures that is, and then ask God to fill us with this love that the early church had, right? God even knows how many hairs are on your head. I'm pleased to say that I have most of my hair still. But even if you don't, the issue isn't how many hairs are on your head. The issue is this. He knows you intimately. Do not be afraid of those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid of the one who can throw both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Listen to this. Yet not one of them will fall to the ground outside your Father's care. Now this is just something we're going to have to settle because, and it's settable only because the Holy Spirit will help you. Go beyond where you're at. Go beyond your memory. Go beyond your comprehension. Because you need this, because sometimes sparrows fall, right? But sometimes things fall in our life, but not one thing happens without the Father's care. This is the great dichotomy of life. Well, then, Lord, why'd you allow that to happen? Why'd you allow that to happen? Wow. Asking with an honest heart is okay. And just telling God how you feel is okay. What's not okay is not feeling the love of God. In other words, he wants you to know. He doesn't look at you from afar. He wants to put his arm around you. In the spirit. If this weren't possible, I don't know how we would live this life out. If there wasn't love in it from God, if God didn't have a Holy Spirit that not only brought power but spirit but love, then what will we do? And actually, it's this love that we commune with. Even if we're all okay and everything on the outside's okay. You know how many people go crazy and do stupid stuff anyway? Because they need the love of God. There's only one thing that will straighten you out. There's only one thing that makes sense. And it's this sense of the love of God, not only in your brain, but in your spirit. And God will pour that out. We take a tremendous amount of time around here, not only talking about it, but imparting it. And we're going to do that here in a minute. Just ask God to do that all over again. Because I sense that maybe some in this room are just sort of, maybe on their last leg, maybe they just haven't felt God's warmth in a long time. Right? And we come to those spaces, but I try not to stay in those spaces. Even when I feel like that, I just try to put myself in neutral for a while till the love catches up with me. Because he always catches up with me. Sometimes I'm in testing, sometimes I'm in trial, but I don't ever let myself go into that negative, condemned, feel sorry for myself, stupid place. I say, stupid, what good does it do? Is it not going to change my situation? No. Does it make God love me more or less? No. He loves me all the same. But I tell you what, it does make me feel better, feeling God's warmth. Whether he tells me why it's going on or not, whether he tells me when it's going to be gone, there's something beyond that. There's a hug from God that comes in your circumstances that doesn't tell you anything about the future, doesn't explain anything at all, but just lets you know you're going to be all right. You're okay. Right? The beauty and benefits of living for Jesus. Who would have known they would be this amazing, right? Now, I just read a few more passages here as we close today. I'm going to read from Romans 8 just a little bit more before I move on here. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Romans 8, 35 and 39. I'm on 8 here now. Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? And you fill in your own blank. As it is written, for your sake, we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. This was their experience. This is what they literally were experiencing in the early church. So it wasn't that they just persevered. We admire the early church for its persevering and for their fighting and for their continuing on and discipline and so on. But they also had something in the tank that went beyond that discipline. It was the love of God. That's what got them to where they needed to go. No. Though slaughtered by like sheep, whatever. In all these things, we're more than conquerors through him who, what? Loved us. Can I just open your heart to let you know that God wants you to experience love? When love comes, circumstances find their right perspective, no matter what you're going through. It's just that we're out of love and out of affection. We feel like God's left us alone or somewhere. That's when things get really bad. Because he lived in this all the time. This was Paul's lifestyle and the apostles, right? But then he says this. This is why I can do this, for I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present or the future nor any powers, neither height nor depth, any or anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So, yes, I know Jesus loves me, but he's talking more than this. They weren't just saying, nothing can set me from the love of God. They're saying, if I get separate, I get put in jail, I'm in a jail cell in Philippi, I can lift my hands and worship anyway because of the love of God. I can feel him in this jail cell. I can feel him with me, right? In the jail cell, I can feel God. I'm suggesting to you, they weren't just worshiping out of discipline. In a jail cell, worshiping out of discipline only has about that much. Right? Life. But if you worship in the Spirit, you worship from understanding the love of God, I'll tell you what, you've got all this going to the throne room of God, and you have assurance on the inside. There's nothing that replaces this assurance. There's nothing that replaces this target in our life to know that we can experience the love of God and everything's going to be okay. Sometimes circumstances take a while to change. So we can't focus only on the circumstances in them. I pray over all kinds of bad things, but I always keep my heart rooted in love. And I don't try to do too much. I just try to say, Lord, I agree with you. I just thank you for this situation. You know, there's something good on the other side of it. I declare your goodness. David said, I would have despaired unless I believed. I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. He had it. He knew it. It wasn't just that he knew there was going to change. It was something feeding him on the inside. He was like having a picnic, right, in the wilderness, so to speak. And we know about those older people that other people live in the wilderness, and they didn't do so good, right? They didn't have really a picnic, did they? And so we don't want to live like that, do we? Did you know that God even knows the number of hairs on your head? Now, I'm not sure why the Bible would be so explicit about that, right? Some of us are depressed about that. Some are excited about how many hairs we have. But do not be afraid of those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground outside your Father's care. That's amazing. You mean God cares for his creation so much that if a sparrow falls to the ground, he notices. And even The hairs of your head are all numbered. Don't be afraid. You're worth more than many sparrows. So can you feel the quiet in here? That's the Spirit of God. He's talking to you, talking to me. I can always feel when I'm preaching when there's a sense of stillness. It's the Spirit. And you're receiving this. It's such a good news, isn't it? Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of this politic or that ruler or this thing or that. Hey, look, even the hairs on your head are all numbered. I don't know what happens to everybody else. I don't know where the earth goes and this crisis and that crisis. All I know is God knows me very, very well. And He's going to never leave me or forsake me. I love Psalm 16, how it explains it. Keep me safe, my God, for in you I take refuge. How many know the guy that wrote this had a lot of trouble? He was chased around the countryside over and over again. Even the king of his own country tried to kill him, trying to hunt him down. This is the guy that wrote this. Keep me safe, my God, for in you I take refuge. I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. Apart from you, I have no good thing. I say of the holy people who are in the land, they are the noble ones in whom all is my delight. In whom is all my delight. I love that passage. Could you say, man, I not only live alone, but I live with noble people like me. I live in the body of Christ. I live in all these people that know God and love God. And they are my delight, just like you're my delight. Thank you for putting me in such a pleasant, lovely place, Jesus. The amazing beauty and benefit of living for Jesus turns out it also has to do with the person sitting right next to you and the love that has been brought, the ecclesia, the gathering of God's people, to worship the Lord no matter what, to feel His love and presence no matter what, to enjoy God and enjoy each other. What a blessed, beautiful lifestyle, this lifestyle of Jesus. The beauty and benefits of living for Jesus are absolutely outstanding, beyond anything we could ask or think. We'll find out in heaven, but I think there's a fair amount to be experienced here, right? Amen. Why don't we all stand? If I could have the musicians come up.
Thank you so much for joining us here today. It was so great to have you with us. If you have any questions about our church or if you need prayer in any way, please visit our website at vineyardln.com. See you next time.